Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, if there's anything we've learned about the Republican electorate in the 2012 campaign from basically the Iowa straw poll on, it's that they really don't know who they want to be the Republican nominee, at least not with a great deal of consistency. We've seen a half a dozen people run through the front runner status. Ultimately, Rick Santorum won Iowa, Mitt Romney won New Hampshire, and then we got this little nugget as soon as the polls closed on Saturday night in South Carolina.
Fox News can now project that Newt Gingrich will beat Mitt Romney in the Palmetto State, further scrambling an already volatile primary season that has produced three different winners now in three different states.
So the idea of an easy path to the nomination, Jim, for one of the candidates, that's pretty much dashed. We're going to see a pretty tough fight, maybe not as tough as Hillary versus Obama. Could mean that our eventual nominees got a lot of wounds heading into the convention. But the good news is that they will be battle-tested and that the Obama negative machine, which, again, is all he has to run on, will pretty much have no ammo left to dig up, hopefully, whenever that person is crowned.
Well, at that point, they'll just start making stuff up, Greg. So don't get too confident. But look, coronations very rarely turn out well for parties. And so if Mitt Romney ends up being the nominee as a result of this, better that every possible weakness get exposed. Look, he needs to have an argument. He needs to have something that he can say to America, not just that, you know, Obama is bad. I think he needs something a lot more specific than this "I believe in America" stuff that Mark Stein was I think, you know, rightfully kind of, you know, poking fun at in the corner. Mitt Romney has seen a big drop in just 1 week in his South Carolina numbers. His national numbers are slumping, and two polls out this morning have Gingrich up in Florida, which suggests, man, you know, you've heard of glass jaws. I understand that technically Romney's is a baccarat crystal, but it is just, you know, shattered, and you know that. There's a lot of support of Mitt Romney that was just, I guess, based on his sense of inevitability and the sense that, well, he was the guy, so he was the front runner, so let's go with him. I think you can very much dispute whether Mitt Romney is still the front runner this morning. And so if Mitt Romney ends up being the nominee, it will be because he fought his way back. If he does not get the nomination and it turns out to be Gingrich or Santorum or Ron Paul, then, you know, whoever gets this nomination will have earned it. The idea that this has been some sort of unfair, you know, easy track for any one particular person, I think, is no longer viable. You know, this is what primaries are supposed to sort out.
Well, it's clearly Ron Paul's turn. He's the only one left in the race who hasn't actually won a primary yet. So look for an upset win by him, folks, next Tuesday. I think the big test for me personally, Jim, is going to be how long Newt Gingrich can go without saying something that knocked him all the way back down in the polls. Because some folks are hoping that if he is the nominee, that he can run out the string here for another 10 months without saying something outlandish like Paul Ryan is responsible for right-wing social engineering, or he wants to abolish courts, or
Newt is never at his, you know, better than when he is absolutely at the bottom and needs to pick himself back up, and he is never worse than when he is absolutely riding on top of the world and things are going great for him. So the bad news for Newt is that the news is turning good, but the good news for Newt is that as soon as the news turns bad, he'll have good news again.
On to martini number two now, and we got this news on Sunday from Arizona Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords.
I have more work to do on my recovery. So to do what is best for Arizona, I will step down this week.
And so that news comes just a little over a year after she was shot in the head, and most people assume she wouldn't even survive, much less make the amazing recovery that she has, Jim. And if you go back to 2010, when she was in a tight race, her district is very competitive. Not sure exactly how that will change with the slightly redrawn boundaries, but you know, we wanted to defeat her in 2010, and the idea that this is how she leaves Congress because of some absolutely radical, insane person shooting her in the head. This is not how America is designed to be. This is supposed to be done at the ballot box. There's plenty of policy differences with Congresswoman Giffords, but I think everyone and any rational person in either party admires her for her courage, if not necessarily for each of her political stands. And to see it end this way is something that I don't think anybody likes.
I think you're correct in this. There's a something of a silver lining, which is that as soon as Congresswoman Giffords had her awful injury and made this very inspiring comeback from just about the worst of circumstances, she became this apolitical figure. This is not the right time to be bringing up her voting record or ACU rating or something like that. So when she went before the voters, one, obviously there were a lot of Republicans who were wondering whether they even wanted to run against her. And there was some very cynical thinking among some Democrats in the state who really wanted her to run for Senate, because that would presumably be there's an open seat this year. Congressman Flake is probably the most likely Republican nominee. And the thinking would be that if Congressman Giffords had been the nominee of the Democratic Party, that she would sail into the Senate with no real serious debate or opposition, because everyone felt so much sympathy for her. I don't think this is the way democracy is supposed to work. You're not supposed to do this based on sympathy for someone who has suffered a great tragedy. I don't think that's, it's not terribly rational. It's all letting your heart do all the thinking. So the fact, and the whole time, since day one, it's been very clear that she's going to have an enormous physical challenge before her, putting her life back together. So as much as it is a sad martini to see her not able to continue her congressional career, I think it is probably the best interest both for her and the state of Arizona that someone who is not dealing with her same kind of extraordinarily difficult physical issues to represent that district in the Congress.
On to martini number three now, and fortunately this one brings a little more levity to the situation. We think Senator Rand Paul will probably be at the State of the Union on Tuesday night, but that's assuming he can make his way through TSA security, going through the airport on his way back to Washington, because the Senate is finally back in session this week. He went through the scanner, the one that might give you cancer, but we're not really sure.
The nudie one.
Yes, exactly, the nudie one. Well, that wasn't functioning properly, so who knows what he was exposed to. Anyway, then they wanted to give him the pat-down, and well, let's just say that the civil libertarian Rand Paul had had enough. He refused the pat-down, and therefore he's being detained currently by the Transportation Security Administration while all this gets sorted out. While I guess if you enter into that environment, you do have to sort of comply with their guidelines. I think a lot of people are standing and applauding Senator Rand Paul for saying what a lot and doing what a lot of people would love to do, and he's going to get a lot more attention for it, and hopefully it leads to some changes. I'd be surprised if it did, but good for him either way.
Greg, for starters, I say free Rand Paul. he's our mumia. The couple thoughts come to mind. The first is, I guess the issue that set off the scanner was his steel spine. They're just not used to seeing people flying to Washington having that. The other thing is, this will turn him into a folk hero. Now, I must point out, at this hour, there's a little bit of confusion about what precisely happened. Law enforcement is insisting that they never actually detained him, and his spokesman was saying that he was indefinitely detained. So perhaps Rand Paul will give the response to the Republican State of the Union from a cell in Gitmo, since that's kind of an ominous indefinitely detained. Senator, we're not going to let you go. Now, let me just observe that there are 100 senators. Probably the last one you wanted to stop and frisk and detain is Rand Paul, because if there's one guy who's going to turn this into a crusade, I think it's him. And boy, TSA, you had better hope that he doesn't decide to go after your funding as as his next crusade of government waste. And I think he'll be very motivated on this. You better pray to Aqua Buddha that Rand Paul doesn't come after you. So I think we've just seen something very amusing, and we may get something that will really strike a chord, because 10 years after 9/11, we've been making TSA jokes for years, and yet it just continues to operate. And I think most Americans really feel like they get objectified or treated like cattle or treated badly just a time and again when they're not terrorists, and they just feel like this is just kind of this organized government run abuse. And I have a feeling that Rand Paul will be the hero of air travelers everywhere as he points out that this is an untenable situation that must come to an end. So free Rand Paul. As soon as he's out of there, we're all behind you, Senator.
Exactly.
Including everyone who's standing on line behind you.
And, of course, this comes just a week after, I think, some person actually got a gun onto a plane. So well done, TSA. Well done. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
Very good, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus for Radio America. Please join us on Tuesday for the next Three Martini Lunch.